us pray. Lord, we pray that you will help your word come alive for each and every one of us. Open our ears and our minds and our hearts to hear what it is that you have to say to us, both collectively and individually. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please take a seat. Have to excuse my hoarseness. I wonder if, like me, you've ever watched on the news with growing anxiety, and in fact there was some demonstrations last night. Those demonstrations that start off very peacefully, everyone walking along together with their placards, chanting, but going as one against perhaps one thing that they have in common. Recently, of course, it was NHS pay. There's been lots of other ones as well. And it all starts off really well, the police guiding and walking alongside them. Then all of a sudden, something happens. We're never quite sure, we never quite see what it is. But suddenly, the demonstration gets dissolved into chaos and violence and conflict. People become divided. Where they were once united, they become divided. And instead of fighting for the same cause, they're fighting for each other. And I think this is some of what is happening in what Mark is speaking about in his gospel today. Earlier in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus had been going around casting out demons and healing the sick. He'd been forgiving sins and eating with tax collectors. And he had been breaking the law of God by feeding and healing people on the Sabbath. Naturally, like many renegades, he had become very, very popular. A crowd had begun to gather around him, as we hear in the beginning of our reading. And as a result, he was becoming a problem. He was a rule breaker, some of the rules. He wasn't behaving the way society thought he should at that time. And as a result, his family thought he had to come home. They thought he'd lost his mind, as it says. So they've come to collect him, take him home, perhaps control him, if you like. They don't like what he's doing. He's embarrassing them. He's making them, because they're associated with him, look a bit odd, look a bit mad. But before they can get there, there's another group that's come to deal with Jesus. The government, the ones in authority, those scribes and Pharisees. You see, it's people like Jesus who always attract the attention of the government. Anyone who threatens the status quo, anyone who threatens the power, perhaps, of governments, is always a danger. So those scribes from Jerusalem have come down to investigate what's going on. And their fear isn't that Jesus has simply gone crazy. It's that he's become possessed. He's not preaching as they thought he should. He's not doing what they believed a Messiah should do. He's doing something very different. He's being with the people. He's breaking some of those rules that he doesn't agree with. And in doing that for them, he's creating division and conflict between the religious communities, if you like. And so he must be stopped. And I think sometimes it's like that for us. Things get divided in conflict. Even ourselves, we can be one person on the outside, just as those scribes and Pharisees, they were doing everything they felt for the law, and Jesus' family were being a good Jewish family. But it's stuff sometimes that is going on inside us that seek to divide and rule, create divisions. I know in my work as a chaplain, very often I come across many people who say their greatest fear is that someday someone will find out who they really are. When I ask them what they mean, they say that they will know I'm not who I say I am, that I'm not who I want to be, them to think I am. that I'm not who I want to be. For them, as it says in this passage from Mark, it's a real fear that those cracks, perhaps in their foundations, in their person, will become real and noticed and divide. You know, the houses and kingdoms of all over the world and throughout the Bible have been divided. It started the battle of interior conflict with Adam and Eve right at the beginning. They separated themselves from God and hid amongst the trees in the garden. They were separating themselves from what they wanted and should do to what they believed, what they thought was best. It's also seen in Israel wanting a king, so it can be like all the other nations, forgetting that it had a unique calling, that it was to be different from the other nations. That it was through Israel and the people of God that God was going to act for the benefit of all people. And this division and inner conflict is a reality in our world today, just as I said about those protestations, the protests that we see. And it's in our own lives, I think. A marriage can sadly be divided by divorce. A nation can be divided as a result of its politics, and in the extreme can lead to civil war. An economy can be divided, as it which means it yields poverty and injustice. And a community can become divided as it becomes individual, it wants to be individual, and perhaps a little bit tribal. It develops prejudice and maybe even violence. And humanity is divided by all these things on a global level. We've seen only this week, and in fact last night, how things can quite quickly come and become divided. We've seen that Trump has walked out of the G7 meeting. Not sure what that's all about, just heard it briefly on the news. But he seeks, perhaps at the moment, he doesn't agree with it, he's looking out for his own, perhaps not seeing the bigger picture. And I think that can be something that we all do. And even as a church, we can do that. We can seek to want to bring everyone here and to make them part of our community. Such a great idea. But actually, the real thing we need to do is to bring people to God and Jesus. And then they find where they fit in the community. But also we're called to be that lighthouse of the community. And for that, we also need to be united. But we all know what it's like, I think, even in our own lives, and I certainly do, to know what it's like when your insides and your outsides don't quite match up. You know, you can be one person perhaps at work and another person when you get home. You act one certain way with one group of friends and another certain way with another group of friends. Our life sometimes gets divided into lots of pieces. Behaviour, beliefs, ethics become situational or can become situational. There is the work life, the family life, and the prayer life, the personal life, and the social life. All little bits and no real joined up. So all bits of a puzzle, really, and sometimes not all together. And we're left with fragmented bits, and sometimes that really gets us into trouble. Sometimes trying to be what we're not or trying to be different people to all different people can make us even fall to bits, which I know you know has happened to me before. Trying to be perhaps what I'm not instead of the Amanda that I'm called to be. I can remember when I was at school, I very much wanted to be part of the in crowd. You know, I mean, you might have been to my school, there was the in crowd of girls. They wore their blazers a little bit scruffy. They wore their skirts a little bit shorter. They smoked behind the bike sheds. They were a little bit edgy. And I longed to be one of them. So I joined in. But of course, I wasn't really, because A, my mother wouldn't let me, and B, I didn't have the knees for the short skirts. And the smoking, well, that's another thing. I just couldn't keep up the facade. I did it because I wanted to be liked. And very often, that's why we have all these different pieces. It's to be liked and accepted. And so I went back and I found another group of friends that were perhaps more like me. Still kept in touch with them and can still, obviously, as you know, rail against authority occasionally. But it was not who I was. Those pieces got me into trouble. And that's what was happening with Jesus. He was speaking out against those things. And they wanted him to stop. He was creating divisions, as I said, in their religious community and even in his family life. He was stepping out. He was turning society on its head. And they accused him. He tells that little parable, doesn't he, in the middle of our reading today. I'll just remind you of it. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. He's showing them that in them accusing him of being Satan, they're also accusing him of casting out demons. If he's Satan, he can't cast out the demons, because actually, how would that work? So they were getting themselves all muddled up in trying to almost do that thing of creating rumours, a bit like the press do today with all our news and politicians and celebrities. They try and create things to bring them down. They didn't want people to hear what Jesus had to say. He didn't fit. He didn't fit as his family, in his family anymore. He didn't fit in that religious community because he was Jesus. But he hadn't come to bring diversity and divide. He'd actually come to unite everybody. Just as he gives us the choice to unite ourselves, to bring ourselves into balance. Now, in my work, I teach a lot about spiritual care. And spiritual care is something that we all need in our lives, because we all need to be whole. We all need to be fit in body, mind, and spirit. So we need those all to be in balance. And sometimes when those aren't, as we find when people are ill, they suffer what we call total pain. They can't kind of get to grips with the pain despite drugs and everything, because there's so much that needs sorting out. And Jesus is saying to us that we need balance in our lives, and we can do it through his love and his forgiveness. He is the one he talks about the strong man. He's the strong man who comes to invade our lives and all those pieces. He's the missing piece that can put our jigsaw, our picture back, if you like. We sometimes have to have a hard look in our lives, because those bits and pieces and those trying to be what it is we think people want us to be can do damage to us. But actually, it can do damage to our communities in which we live and worship. Jesus comes to unite, not divide. He tells us in that other reading about that faith, it's the things that are unseen that really matter. The things that are in our heart, the things that we do, the things that we show. Those are the things that seek to unite us. We come to the end of our reading, and it seems such harsh words. I always think that when I read this. When he tells, then somebody comes and says to him, your mother and brothers are outside for you. And he says, who are my mother and my brothers? Sounds like he's disowning them. He's not very happy with them, obviously, because they were trying to take him away from his calling, trying to cause that kind of unrest, if you like. But what he was always also saying is that he was part of a bigger family, that everyone who believed in him, followed him, did what he asked in their lives, was part of his family. He looks round the circle around him and says, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother, sister, and mother." It's that thing about being family. It's that thing about first finding our wholeness inside us, making sure we're balanced. And sometimes we need help from others through prayer, through studying, through being together. Sometimes we need to seek other help. I've had a lot of counselling in my life, and I sometimes tip over. You're often not in balance, as you might have noticed with me. But actually, it's seeking to do that, seeking to follow God and what he has, seeking to praise the Spirit, to be what we are called, speaking as a church as well, to be whole in Christ. And that's really what I think Mark is trying to say. He's trying to point out to those scribes and to us that it's only when we see Jesus as doing bad that we are condemned. Most things can be forgiven, but that bit we need to turn around. We need to follow him. We need, as my friend once did a great preach of putting different masks on, the different masks that she became for other people. We need to put down our masks. We need to find that real person that we are in God. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it'll happen. It's a lifetime of discovery. We talk about our journey. But with Jesus and in Jesus' love, just as it says, we are, when we follow God's will, we are all his brother, his sister, and his mother. Once we unite ourselves, we can unite our, continue uniting our church and throughout the world. And then we can be a wonderful kind of magnet, if you like, for all our community. And next week in our fun, sorry, I'm running out of voice. Next week in our at our fun day, we can truly show to others how we seek to be that united whole, to seek out, to show that we try and steer away from division and that which divides, that we seek to stick us back together and use Jesus as that missing piece that we need to make us whole. Amen.